So this is not the reflection that I thought I'd be writing for today. I really did think I'd be talking with you today from the vantage point of love having won, of love finally becoming part of the dominant culture, of love overcoming hate and fear. I thought we'd be talking about how to care for all those white people who are feeling disenfranchised because their candidate, the one who encouraged them to embrace that hate and fear, who told them he would fix it by building up walls and making racism and misogyny and xenophobia overt again. I thought we'd be talking about how to care for those people because he had lost. Instead, those white people have spoken in the election booths much more loudly than they did in the polls. And our nation has started down a dark path, and I am afraid. I'm afraid for my safety, for the safety of people I love, for the safety of people I know, and for the safety of people I have yet to meet. I'm afraid that maybe we have to start talking about what happens when love doesn't win. I'm afraid that maybe we have to learn how to grow seeds of love and hope in soil that is becoming less and less fertile. Instead of talking about how to help those disenfranchised people learn to claim their power in a more equitable way, I find myself needing to learn how to move forward. I chose the title for this sermon before this past Tuesday. And I chose not to change it. You might say it's too early to talk about building a new way, that we need time to grieve first. And believe me, I am right there with you. And while we wait to be ready to roll up our sleeves and get to work, our friend Hannah is experiencing violence in Montana. The KKK has held a victory parade in North Carolina. And my friend Amy's family, has told her husband, who is a British citizen, to shut up and let Americans talk about our own politics. I'm not ready for this either, my friends. I am reeling from personal loss and devastated by this election, and so I'm counting on us to give each other what we need, to offer each other our strengths, our hope, wherever we can find it, so that we can carry on together. And I'm saying this to all of us, no matter who we supported in this election, whether we truly believe that Donald Trump is truly our best choice, or that Bernie Sanders would have ensured a Democratic win, or that it really was the right time for a third party candidate to take it, or that Hillary Clinton would have won if only the popular vote had counted. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we do now. We have been talking in the 2 years I have been here about how our job is to bring love more fully into being in our world. And we have been doing that work. And now, things are going to be a little different. I see this as a wake-up call. If Hillary had won, white liberals, at least I, would have felt vindicated. I might have felt a little less motivated to keep on with that real work of dismantling the systems that have made this hate and division a successful presidential platform. I might have said, see, things are moving. Things are moving. We can keep making the move. But now we're being forced to deal with this hate. We will now get to take advantage of how it has been brought into the broad light of day, to see it fully and unequivocally, and to challenge it in the same space. it will be hard. People we love will be hurt. And that's why we have to do it. Carrie Newcomer is a Quaker activist, singer, songwriter. She wrote these words yesterday. And she just says this more clearly than I ever could. Today, I suggest the way forward is not something that can be done in the abstract. The way forward is personal and will be done in community. We must bring our efforts back to human size. We will need to ask the hard questions, speak the hard truths. We will have to be better people than we thought we would ever have to be. We're going to have to let go of political abstractions and bring all this back to our daily personal interactions. She continues, we are going to need to be more loving, more gracious, more forgiving, braver, and more willing to do the hard work of speaking the truth while living in community with differences. Love if you can, she writes. If you can't get to love yet, try to be kind. Hope was never just a pretty word. It is gritty and human size and faithful. And so I invite us today to be that hope. My colleague Elizabeth Stevens wrote words on Wednesday, hope is not a wish for a particular outcome. It's a promise to continue acting as if the beloved community is not just possible, but inevitable. There's a meme that has popped up on my Facebook feed that says, don't mourn, organize. I resonated with this statement when I first saw it, but I'm realizing it doesn't quite do it. A new familiarity with deep personal grief over the last few months has taught me the importance of not skipping the step of mourning. We are mourning. We are mourning a nation. We are mourning a democracy. We are even anticipatory mourning what's going to happen next. We will continue to mourn together. And I encourage us to let ourselves sink into that feeling that we are feeling, because that will guide us into a way forward. I do believe that we will organize, but it will be an outgrowth of that mourning. And in the meantime, I want to offer an understanding that mourning doesn't have to paralyze us while we're doing it. There's action we can take right now, today, even if we don't feel able to move forward yet. My friend and colleague Ashley Horan up in Minneapolis found herself needing a way to express her sadness, and she wrote this on Wednesday. I was terribly unproductive today. I realized I needed to make something rather than think about anything. Thinking about my queer and trans and Muslim and undocumented and poor neighbors, I realized I needed to tell them before doing anything else that I see them and I love them. So I bought sidewalk chalk and wrote love notes to my neighborhood. As I was working, at least 7 or 8 kids in my neighborhood, none of them ones I had known before, stopped and talked with me on their way home from school. They told me about their hopes, their fears, their dreams. One of them took the time to stop and create a square of his own. Tomorrow, I am going to other places in the city where I know people are hurting and tell them in this way that I love them too. My unsolicited advice, go buy some sidewalk chalk and meditate about who you love rather than who you fear for a little while. This will certainly not change the world. There is so much other work to do, but it saved my heart today. And so after we collect our usual offering to support our work and the work of other organizations who do good in our community, we will have a reverse offering. Our children and youth will be back in a few minutes, and they will come around with my offering to you, sidewalk chalk. I invite you to take a piece, and after this amazing choir sings to us about hope, join Alice and me in going out into our neighborhood and writing messages of love on our sidewalks. Or take your chalk home and write love notes in your neighborhood. Or do both. Or if it suits you more, stay inside with Heike and with Kim, who will identify themselves, and write messages of love and support to organizations in solidarity with marginalized people on note cards that we'll provide. Even as we hold disappointment and fear, there are a lot of people out there with even more to fear. May we know them as our neighbors, and may we offer them all the love and the hope we have to give. Love notes in chalk or on paper are a good start. May doing those things save our hearts and give us the courage to continue the work of building a new way. May it be so. May we be so.